Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
There's David Coley on Deshaun Watson. Sarah Barsham of ESPN asked the question. David Coley answered it, kind of.
David, we haven't spoken to you since the first of 22 lawsuits was filed against Deshaun Watson. Do you expect him to be at mini camp or OTAs?
We have nothing to say about that situation at this time. Kyle and ownership a few weeks back indicated about how our organization feels about the situation. I think when Nick was on not long ago, we mentioned that he also mentioned that the legal process is in effect right now, and we're gonna respect that and gonna go from there.
But do you expect to see him this offseason at all? Like, regardless of the legal issues?
I have nothing to say about that at this time.
Well, he kind of said something. He kind of said something by that. Just because if you expected him, you would say so, right? If you expected, regardless, and I liked her question, regardless of the legal issues, would you expect to see him? I have nothing to say. Well, that's kind of an answer right there. They do not, which we knew. But it's just funny how they're kind of meshing these two subjects, which are entirely different.
It's also different to the two standoffs that have consumed the offseason chatter, Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going Deshaun Watson before the legal stuff. There was I don't want to call it arrogance, but I just want it was almost as if the Texans didn't even acknowledge that Deshaun Watson had issues with the organization. That they basically ignored it, and they said, Deshaun's our quarterback. We don't have any desire to trade him. And they ignored the drama. Mm-hmm. But in Green Bay, they've not only acknowledged it, they've talked about, you know, why Aaron Rodgers is upset, and they're almost begging Aaron Rodgers to come back. It's not assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back like Nick Caserio did and like David Culley did early on, that Deshaun's our quarterback. You almost have, over the weekend, Matt LaFleur listen to him being asked about Aaron Rodgers, and it almost sounds like he's freaking crying about it. Like he's on his knees begging Aaron Rodgers to come back. It's just a different approach in Green Bay compared to what it was like in Houston.
Hey, Matt, what progress, if any, have you made toward a resolution with Aaron since we last spoke with you after the draft?
Yeah, Rob, I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that, and, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
We want him back in the worst way. I hope that he knows that. It really is night and day, and I'm not saying what the right way to handle it is and the wrong. The Packers have respectfully put it out there, you know, what's been going on with Aaron Rodgers. The Texans, before this legal stuff, were saying, well, Deshaun's our quarterback. Deshaun's the guy, and any conversation we have is private. Is there a right approach? Is there a wrong approach? The Texans have been handling this more so the way that the Packers are handling it. What do you make of it?
I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it is revealing the difference between the two stances when they were saying Deshaun Watson was our quarterback, right? That's all they were saying. Deshaun Watson is our quarterback. We expect him. Matt LaFleur is saying we want him. That's just that little difference there is pretty big because, you know, we expect him to be our quarterback is not necessarily saying, yeah, we want him to be here. We love him. We're going to fix this, et cetera, et cetera. It's like we expect him to be here. He's our quarterback versus we want him. I think the Packers are really, really working hard recruiting him back into the fold. I don't know if it'll work. I don't think it'll work, if you ask me. But I think it's a big difference how they're approaching it.
How would you have done it if you had been the Texans? Would you have been more Packers, more Texans?
I think I wouldn't have been necessarily either. Because when Deshaun Watson was – by the time it became clear that Deshaun Watson wanted out, I think it was irreparable. I think they knew that, and that's why they approached it the way they did. He's our quarterback. And so once it's irreparable, I would have just said, look, we're going to try to resolve this the best way we can for both parties, something like that, you know, because it was done. I don't think the Packers think it's completely done with Aaron Rodgers.
Just listen to how the Packers GM on draft night acknowledged the drama with Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to say he pulled the curtain back too much, but he didn't sit there and say all conversations are private. This is what it sounded like when Green Bay was dealing with a standoff, much like the one the Texans were doing with Deshaun Watson. Again, pre-legal.
How can you make this work with Aaron after what happened today? You know, he's our quarterback. He's our leader. We've been working through this for, you know, a little while now. And, you know, I just think it may take some time, but he's the guy that kind of makes this thing go. So he gives us the best chance to win, and we're going to work towards that end.
How can you convince him to come back and play for you after he seems to be, at least if the reports are accurate, that he has no interest in doing that?
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for Aaron, obviously, but no, I think obviously we've got a really good team. I do think he'll play for us again. Like I said, we're going to work towards that, and we've been working towards that on a number of different fronts. You know, the value that he has to our football team is really immeasurable. You know what I mean? He brings so much to the table, not only as a player, but a leader. So important to his teammates, to his coaches. So, that's the goal.
How does it get to this point where the two most important people in the franchise, you could probably argue, have kind of gone down this road?
Obviously, there's some things that are hard sometimes, but as we go down this road, I think I think you got to keep in mind, you know, how much we want Aaron to be here and how important he is to our organization. I think, like I said, I'm optimistic, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Is there any scenario that you can see trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
If anybody, whether you, Mark, or Matt, could communicate with Aaron today, or when was the last time any of y'all spoke directly with him?
Yeah, I won't go into specifics, but there was communication with Aaron today. There's been communication with Aaron, you know, a lot over the past, 6-8 weeks. So, but there was communication today.
It's a big difference. They want him, and they're working and making it very clear that they're trying to keep him. Very, very deliberate and direct about we are not going to trade him. Now, of course, we know how it works in sports. That could change. But that the tone and just kind of the wording is a lot different than what they said about, and especially lately, have said about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, here was the Texans. This is the Texans in the same position when it comes to Deshaun Watson. This was Nick Caserio, the first time that he was asked about the Deshaun Watson drama, and that was the first time the Packers GM was asked about the Aaron Rodgers drama. Notice that the Packers kind of making it seem like, yes, we want him here, we think he'll play here, but it's really up to him. This was Nick Caserio when he was first asked about the standoff between Deshaun and the Texans.
Organizationally, just want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. He's had a great impact on this organization, a great impact on a lot of people, a great impact on this team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring once we get started. And, you know, we have zero interest in trading the player. We have a great plan, a great vision for him and for this team and his role on our team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring.
See, that's putting it more on Deshaun, and not as committal, and not as committal as we want him. We're working to keep him, etc.
Is it understandable? I mean, because it seems like the mindset of Deshaun Watson of Aaron Rodgers is kind of similar. So to me, there's got to be like a right or wrong way to handle this, right? Or is there not? Does it just depend on the actual guy? Does it depend on the new regime? Is it Nick Caserio? The fact that he wasn't here and he wasn't really directly part of the reason that Deshaun Watson was so pissed off, does that change the fact that Aaron Rodgers has been supposedly disgruntled with his GM for a long time? Like, what is there a right or wrong way to handle it? Should the Texans have handled this a little bit different?
Well, I think that's two separate things. I don't know if there is a right or wrong way, just because it's, you know, each case is different. But the Texans probably should have handled it a little bit different, because now they're in a position where what you just heard from Nick Caserio, it just rings hollow, because the head coach is saying, I don't even want to talk about it right now. very clearly adamant that Deshaun Watson is not going to be a part of this team, whereas Nick Caserio is like, hey, I'm looking forward to working with him. He's our quarterback, et cetera. Probably should have been a little bit more transparent.
And again, this is before all of the legal stuff came into play. Yeah. So that's when you heard Nick Caserio there. That's the difference when I'm asking the situations. We are looking before the legal stuff that is obviously in the front of mind right now. Obviously different situations. More from David Culley coming up in 6 minutes. I don't know if it was controversial. Matter of fact, he might win over people around here answering this question that I asked him more than he did anything he had to say about what goes on when it comes to football. So we'll get to that in a sec. But Urban Meyer also making his first on-field appearance as an NFL coach over the weekend. And Urban Meyer's got a little bit of hardo in him. This is Urban Meyer talking about the expectations for a Jags team that a lot of people are high on and a lot of people are skeptical of. We know about Urban Meyer's success in college. This is Urban Meyer talking about the expectations his first couple years at his stops in college compared to now.
You know, I explained to our players that's not a Jaguar practice. That's a rookie practice. And the Jaguar practice starts next week. You know, that's, you know, much, much higher tempo, much more energy.
Are your expectations for this year for the team any different than they would have been in your other previous coaching stops in the first year?
I don't think it's going to be any different than the first years at the other places. We've always taken the approach. We're going to try to win.
You know, the interesting thing, first of all, you called him kind of a hardo. That was definitely it's not a Jaguars practice.
This isn't Jags football here.
That's Jacksonville Jaguars football right there. No, but it also was him. That's just his style. The second part got me thinking a little bit. One of the most difficult things that Urban Meyer is going to have to get used to is losing a game and realizing that the season's not over. Because
which I think might actually help him out, because in the past we talked about stress and we know about Urban's health issues. If you lose a game at Ohio State, everybody hates you.
You lose two games,
you're
done.
Into a restaurant, you're done.
Florida too.
Here,
when he was there,
yeah, especially when he had the expectations at a high. But like here, you lose one, you can just move on.
He can.
He's never been able to do that.
He needs to realize he a good season, he'll lose six games.
Yes. You know?
He'll go 11-6. So every coach in the NFL will
it might
take
actually
that.
Be good for him, but he's got to adjust his mindset too to where it's not the end of the
but
world.
But can he? See, that it was very interesting to me listening talking about, you know, the approach and what he expects. The expectation was win them all, at worst lose one game and still be in the hunt when he was at Florida and certainly at Ohio State. Now he's going to have to get used to losing. Is he wired in such a way, or has he been in the college game so long where he just won't be able to handle that as well, or it'll affect him in different ways?
His last seven seasons coaching, he hasn't lost over two games in a season.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know how you handle that. His last 10 out of 13 years, he hasn't lost over two games.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 13.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Now, like I said, six. He could lose six.
12 out of 15.
Very good year.
12 out of 15, he hasn't lost over two games. 12 out of the last 15 years that Urban Meyer's coached, he hadn't lost over two games. He went 10-2 at Utah, then 12-0.
Yeah.
So, you know, he talks about these expectations being the same. 8-3 at Bowling Green, 10-2 at Utah, 9-3 at Florida, 12-0 at Ohio State are his first years. But he's only a couple times in the last decade and a half of coaching lost over two games. So it'll be interesting to see what the mindset is. Maybe it's a sigh of relief. Maybe it actually helps him mentally, mm-hmm. but it is going to be something new for Urban Meyer. But he says it doesn't change. It's going to have to if he wants to succeed. Hopefully, for the sake of people around here that are skeptical on the Jags, it doesn't change and he just wears everybody out and the players are fed up with Urban Meyer. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. David Culley, he's a lot more passionate when he talks about this. And when he speaks on it, I think he might be able to relate to people around here more so than when he talks about pigskin. You'll hear it next.
You got to play winning football for four quarters.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans players got weird habits. It has nothing to do with what's going on the field. Relatable? or too much whining off the field. We'll get into that in 8 minutes. Before we do, though, David Culley met with the media types this weekend. When David Culley talks football, what does it do for you? Name one word to describe your thoughts when David Culley speaks football.
When David Culley talks football, I think the one word that pops to mind is superficial. Very superficial stuff. You know, he's very engaging, very happy, but doesn't really get into the meat. I mean, we just heard Urban Meyer. He gets into the meat a little bit.
If we got to go three and out and punt it, we're good.
Like you pointed it out, and we really didn't follow up on it. It's okay to forget someone's name occasionally. We all do it. But that was just a bad timing to say the wrong name when you're talking about one of your assistants.
It is Ben McDaniels. And let's be honest, I don't know why Ben McDaniels is here. Yeah. It seems like almost a favor because his resume, if you look at his work with quarterbacks at Michigan, wasn't very good. When he was first hired here with the Texans, they said he was going to be like an assistant quarterback coach, which had us confused. Because it ended up actually being an assistant receivers coach. So this almost seems like a favor for Josh McDaniels that he's here in the first place. And you hear David Culley mention him, and he forgot what his name was, which I'll give him a free pass for that because, yeah, let's just be honest.
It happens.
Guy shouldn't be here anyways, if I'm being honest. That's just how I feel about it. I just feel like he's here because his brother knows Casario. But that's neither here nor there. Because I do think that the one thing that I've noticed about David Culley is that when he speaks about food, that's where the real passion comes out. He gets really excited about food. And I decided that I was going to take this opportunity on Saturday in the Zoom with David Culley to ask him about food.
Good
because
for you.
Let's be honest, he's been in Baltimore, he's been in Kansas City, he's been in Buffalo. The Mexican food there sucks.
Right.
Like nobody's going to Baltimore to eat Mexican food. No one's
crab
going
cakes.
To Philly to eat Mexican food.
Cheesesteak,
which by the way shouldn't be your trademark food. We can right. You can make a cheesesteak.
Buffalo
here.
Wings.
Buffalo wings.
Kansas City, second best barbecue.
But you are not eating Mexican food in either of those cities.
Right.
Unless you want to end up on the toilet 10 minutes later. But I asked David Culley cuz he said that he loved food. I just asked him about his desire for Mexican food. And I think this is something that I think people can actually relate to. And of all the things he said, I think this generates the most conversation.
You've said you like food a lot. You've been to a lot of NFL cities. I don't want to sound Houston cocky, but I don't feel like, I don't feel like many of those cities were known for Mexican food. Have you gotten a taste of Houston Mexican food at all?
I have gotten a good taste of Mexican food here. The Tex-Mex food here is unbelievable. And I will agree with you right now, after being here for 3 months, that there's no place in America better than the Tex-Mex food here. No place.
What's the David Culley order? What do you go with? Fajitas, enchiladas? What's the play there?
Well,
mix it
hey,
up?
Listen, I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie from the Stanford when it comes to food. There's really no food on that menu that I won't try. None. But let me tell you, I always start with nachos and I always start with the nachos and then I go from there. And then when I go from there, it's kind of unending. It could go for a while.
Dude, he's so excited talking about Tex-Mex and Mexican food. To each his own. I think nachos might be a little too filling to start with. Maybe a little queso, you know, chips and queso would be a better start. But that's just my personal opinion. He can do what he wants.
I'm a fan of the nachos. If you're going to start with the nachos, start with the nachos. If you want to, no, I just need chips and salsa. Honestly,
chips and salsa
is my favorite food.
Yeah.
It's my favorite food. But David Culley eats a lot, so he goes with the nachos, mm-hmm. and I
Tex-Mex staple.
I can forgive him. I can.
He was pretty excited about about that.
I think that what is the right way to go? I mean, different strokes for different folks when
right.
it comes to Mexican food. My hottest take when it comes to Mexican food is, and this, I mean, I'm not trying to lead people down a path of like being angry with me, but I think fajitas are overrated at a Mexican restaurant. I think it's tasty, but I think of all the things that you can cook yourself at your house, I think fajitas are the most realistic. So when I go to a Mexican place, while fajitas I'm not going to say no to, and there are some really good fajitas,
right.
I want to get something like an enchilada, like a tamale or something like that, because I think fajitas, you can make fajitas yourself and you can do a pretty decent job at it. I'm not one to be able to cook enchiladas.
I actually agree with every word. I love fajitas, but it's pretty easy, and it's more text than Mex, you know, if you're going eating text. Here's, as a card-carrying, proud Hispanic with a mother from Mexico, this is the best way to judge a Mexican food restaurant. Two things, the salsa and the rice. If you have really good salsa, different types of spiciness to each one, and Mexican rice, you can eat it by itself and you can taste how good it is. Those are your gauges. Then you go from there. I like, obviously, who doesn't like a good, you know, Mexican plate with an enchilada and, you know, tamale and all that. But I like chile relleno, or as you say it,
relleno.
Yeah.
Chile relleno.
Chile relleno.
I just look at, just quit showing off. I just look at the combinations, and then you just work your way there. That's my thing. Fajitas, fine. You want to order fajitas at the table, we can do that. I think it's a waste,
and
because you can make fajitas at home.
I agree with
very
you.
Very easily.
They're very good.
Very
easily. I won't say no, just like you. And then the other one is carne guisada. If you can get a good carne guisada, that's hard to make the right way, and it's really good.
Just very tasty. You can actually eat pretty healthy on Mexican food diet as well. Just get the get the chicken, get the steak, go to town. But that's David Culley talking about the food. Texans players, they got a very interesting approach when it comes to going online. Last week we saw Mark Ingram complaining about United, and he basically pulled the "Do you know who I am?" Chris Long kind of pranked him. Now we have Titus Howard complaining about Southwest Airlines, and he says it's the worst airline. He's never going to fly there. What the hell is with these guys?
Yeah,
like, what are these guys doing?
And it's two guys now that have done that. One was taken for a ride by Chris Long, and then most recently Titus Howard has done it as well. I don't know. I mean, you complain on Twitter. It's part of what Twitter's about, I guess.
Not if you're a pro athlete.
Yeah, I mean, why are they flying Southwest?
You shouldn't sound like Joe and Kelly. I don't know. Southwest is a good airline.
It's a very good airline.
But you're an athlete, bro. Like, you don't need to be.
You need leg room.
But you're an athlete.
You need leg room.
You're gonna call out Southwest like someone we work with, like someone in sales or something like that, like some Jamoke.
I fly Southwest all the time.
What are we doing, Titus?
I'm not doing.
I need Titus Howard and Lonnie Johnson to play better and tweet worse. Like, for some reason, I don't know what it is with these with the newer Texans, but whether it's Lonnie Johnson calling out Aaron Wilson or going back and forth after he has bad games, or Titus Howard having a bad game and then tweeting out his highlight. I need these new guys, these new players with David Culley. I need them to play better, tweet less. That's what I need.
I'm good with that. No, all I'm saying is, you know, I know they're not the highest paid players on the planet, but they're making good NFL money. Just pay a little more for the exit row, man. Get some leg room, or go on United or one of the others and get an upgrade.
The complaining on the internet about the airlines getting a little played out.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little bit played out, and there's always an ulterior motive. Because let's be honest, if I've had service issues with certain
Who
companies,
hasn't? Exactly.
No, but you know, maybe in my younger days, you would go on Twitter and you'd call it out. If you just message them and if you really want to get a resolution, instead of just trying to rally up people and talk crap about them, you can get good resolutions. And usually they're more than willing. Most of the big companies are going to be more than willing to accommodate you, or at least relate to the problem that you have and get it there going on Twitter. But then again, I do say this, and I think this is a thing that I forget. And this is a thing that I think a lot of fans forget. I'm in the front of the line, so I'm not on my high horse. These guys are in their early 20s.
Right.
So, because
maybe
you are a public figure,
like,
especially when I'm watching like a college game, when the kid takes his helmet off and I'm like, dude, that dude hadn't even hit puberty yet.
12 years old.
Yeah. I'm sitting here cussing at this kid and he hadn't even hit puberty yet. I do have to keep in mind that when these guys, they do earn the big paycheck because they're more in the public and they get criticized more. But I do got to realize Titus Howard's, Lonnie Johnson's, all that, they are in their early
20s. After you fly for a while, you learn to sort of, kind of reassess what bad service is. What he was talking about was not bad service. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. I've slept on the floor of an airport at least three or four times because of flights that have been canceled. That's bad service. There's a difference. Once you fly more, you kind of have to reassess what really bad service is.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 6. And I'll say this, David Culley, he is maximizing when it comes to the Tex-Mex. I don't know what he's going to think about the barbecue, but Tex-Mex, really, it's kind of almost like an unfair battle there, because let's be honest, his other stops, his three decades, cannot even step in the same ballpark as what we got to offer here. Coming up, the Astros, very good in the first quarter of the season, but they are about to be tested like crazy in the next few weeks. Popping bottles for a local champion, and the news around the NFL is as dramatic as ever. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, Tony Busby, did he lie to us? Sarah Barship of ESPN says yes. Contrary to statements made by Harden and Busby, Rusty Harden and Tony Busby last week, ESPN says that they have text messages and audio recordings obtained by the outlets from a member of the legal team representing Deshaun Watson's accusers in 22 different lawsuits. They've reached out to the QB's attorney, Rusty Harden, according to the recordings, in hopes of reaching a financial settlement. This is from Sarah Barship. The lawyer approached Watson's camp requesting they discuss, quote, working things out. No surprise here, because if you take what Rusty Harden and Tony Busby say as the gospel, first of all, you're being foolish. Second of all, you're ignoring common sense. Do you really think either one of these guys last week when they talked to Mark Berman would have said, yep, we're getting the settlement. The settlement's coming. Yep, that's what's going on.
Right. No way. No way, no how. And they haven't. I mean, they've had multiple opportunities to talk about that, especially during that quiet nearly 3 weeks when it seemed they were, and it was reported they were talking settlement. On this thing itself, you know, the Sarah Barship report, I don't doubt that it's true, but I also feel like, and Tony Busby refuted it, saying I'm the only one that has authority to do this. I also think that he has that deniability there, because he really would be the one that would be at the point of any, you know, negotiation. But that doesn't mean that one of his staff members didn't reach out. So it's just word games, you know, the way they're going back and forth at each other.
Seems like a theme, word games.
Yeah, word games.
Speaking of word games, David Culley asked by Sarah Barship, previously mentioned reporter for ESPN, about the Deshaun Watson situation, not from a legal perspective, from an on-field perspective, but David Culley took it back to a legal perspective. Tongue twister, I know. It'll make more sense after this.
David, we haven't spoken to you since the first of 22 lawsuits was filed against Deshaun Watson. Do you expect him to be at mini camp or OTAs?
We have nothing to say about that situation at this time. Kyle and ownership a few weeks back indicated about how our organization feels about the situation. I think when Nick was on not long ago, we mentioned that he also mentioned that the legal process is in effect right now, and we're gonna respect that and gonna go from there.
But do you expect to see him this offseason at all? Like, regardless of the legal issues?
I have nothing to say about that at this time.
There you go. Nothing to say about it.
Why not? It's an easy question. Regardless of the legal issues, do you expect to see him this year? Your general manager said not too long ago, he's our quarterback, looking forward to working with him. Head coach just said, not talking about it. We all know the reason. I mean, the reason is he's gone. But it would be an easy thing to answer, wouldn't it?
We're not here to talk about that.
No, you're doing it.
Now, what about the rookies themselves? David Culley getting his first look at the rookies. Vets actually on the field today. But here is a breakdown with our own Brandon Scott at SportsRadio610.com of each rookie selected by Nick Caserio, who David Culley will coach.
Just real quick, if you could go over the five draft picks and just give us your quick assessment of them.
You call out the name first and I'll go over them. Who you want first?
You could go in order. Davis Mills, Nico
okay.
Collins.
All right. Davis Mills, Nick's staff did a great job earmarking a guy that fit what a quarterback in this NFL is all about. This guy, obviously, he didn't play as much football as some of the other guys because of the COVID situation in the Pac-12. But we really love what he's all about. We love all the intangibles that he has. He's a prototype NFL quarterback, and we feel good to have him. He's smart. He can make all the throws. And we feel good and feel fortunate that we were able to get him when we got him. Nico, again, I've got a couple of coaches on my staff that's got some background with him. Pep had him in Michigan. Davis had him at Davidson had him right there at who actually coached him, assistant receiver coach Ben Davidson. He is the prototype wide receiver, big, strong, 50-50 catch type guy in this league. And we feel like that, you know, he'll bring that to us. And we're looking forward to that. Very tough kid. Very tough kid. Brevin, oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. We feel like we got a steal with him before we got him. We felt like that guy probably would have been gone before the fifth round. But once we got to that point and he was there, I mean, it was a no-brainer with the ability that he has as far as being a prototype tight end in this business. Garrett Waller, loved him. Our people love what he's all about, you know. I mean, I'm talking about he's a football player. I mean, he is a flat-out football-playing Jesse, I'd like to say, you know, old term from the South. You've heard that term before, okay. You know, and we love that. Roy, I mean, I'm telling you, he's down in the trenches. I mean, he's excellent there. We felt good when we got to that point of being able to get him. And once we got to that point, you know, it was good. I mean, Lovey loved where he was.
Yeah. Look, I think they really, 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 really like Garrett Waller, which is interesting because of where he was drafted. He's a Jesse, if you – I hadn't heard that.
He's a football player too, by the way. Yeah, I'm glad they got football players selected in the football draft. Thanks, yeah. Coach.
I just, you know, I mean, what else would you expect the head coach to say for a draft that he probably didn't
like? He likes Jordan more.
I was just going to say that, you know, probably a draft that he didn't have a lot to do with in terms of
a lot
or much,
much
or any.
Thank you.
Okay, to do with. But once they're there, you know, he starts evaluating them, and I think you know, Garrett Waller and Brevin Jordan are the guys that he's kind of you know, going toward.
I think Waller can play a little bit of safety. He can play some linebacker. He's going to be a special team guy. Maybe an upgrade over Dylan Cole, which, let's be honest, you get a day three guy right there that can be a part of your team immediately, then and can actually stay on the field, unlike Cole. That'll be a good thing. Only thing that worries me about Garrett Waller, no disrespect, but he says he's looking at Ross Blacklock as a mentor.
Yeah.
Maybe get a different mentor, especially if you want to maximize your rookie year, because J.J. Watt was critical of Ross Blacklock's practice habits, very critical of him getting ejected from a game. Maybe you and Ross Blacklock can lean on each other, but that's not that rookie year is not something you want to emulate what Ross Blacklock put out there. You had, I think, over 65% of the players drafted in the second round at least started a game. Ross Blacklock was like one of the few who didn't. So Garrett, go out there, do your thing. I think you're going to be a hell of a player. Maybe just,
I don't know,
maybe
about a hell of a player.
I think
they like him.
No, I mean, I think for what you need on your football team, I think he can be one of those special teams guys that you can bring in nickel, can be a weak side linebacker. That, to me, is a hell of a player.
And I always
Here's
try
Texans to... Texans Radio, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris.
There you go.
You.
There you go. Glad to see you get that. I always kind of am hesitant to fall in love with what coaches are telling me about guys that have just joined their team and have a direct impact on their job status. I mean, same thing with general managers. You know, one thing you learn over the course of time in this business is they're going to love everyone in May and June. They're going to love them. So I'd like to reserve judgment or look in other places.
Now, B.O.B. said they don't know crap, so not everyone's going to love them.
Not about why they picked them, though.
Rookies just, they don't know anything.
I mean, he said all good things about the players when he was drafting them and in May and June, but then in terms of playing on the team, rookies don't know anything. But they all love the guys that they pick. So you go to different levels, you go to different sources and stuff. And I'm just, you know, with that in mind, talking to people, reading things, going back, you know, and I think those two guys probably stand the best chance of really having an impact.
Waller and Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
I have my not to interrupt, but to be honest, I actually have some very, very serious doubts about Davis Mills.
Yes, and we're going to get into that at noon because it's supposed to make you feel good, but it has John Lopez pissed off.
Well, not only
and
that,
I'm very
but just
amused
doubts
by
about
it.
What they're saying about him.
Noon, we will hear why John Lopez is what a lot of people are excited about. John Lopez is ticked off about.
Yes,
very angry, hot, bothered in his feelings.
All of the above.
Aaron Rodgers in a standoff with the Green Bay Packers. They actually brought in a familiar face, Blake Bortles, getting some work in. up in Green Bay. Here is Matt LaFleur. David Culley didn't want to say much about Deshaun Watson. Matt LaFleur sounds like he's about to cry when asked about Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Matt, what progress, if any, have you made toward a resolution with Aaron since we last spoke with you after the draft?
Yeah, Rob, I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, you know, we want him back in the worst way. Oh, I know he knows that. You know, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
Worst way.
The worst way.
The worst way. We want him back. They brought in Blake Bortles. They only have two quarterbacks on the roster, which is understandable. But Matt LaFleur trying to sell Blake Bortles in Green Bay. Big eye roll from me.
Started a lot of games and has had a lot of success. He led his team to the AFC Championship game. And, I mean, they were close to knocking off the Patriots in New England.
Come on, man.
Yawn.
Come on, now.
They were that close, man.
That guy had a lot more to do with it than him.
Well, that is true. That is absolutely
true.
Shout
out to Jalen Ramsey. Urban Meyer got his first work as an NFL coach on field work. And Urban Meyer, my gosh, the one thing he has brought from college to the NFL is the guy is definitely a hardo.
You know, I explained to our players that's not a Jaguar practice. That's a rookie practice.
And
the Jaguar practice starts next week. You know, that's, you know, much higher tempo, much more energy.
Are your expectations for this year for the team any different than they would have been in your other previous coaching stops in the first year?
I don't think it's going to be any different than the first years at the other places. We've always taken the approach. We're going to try to win.
That was not a Jaguars practice.
It's weird because
I want y'all to know that.
I guess it's just because he's got so many pelts on the wall already that you kind of let it slide. But that was very much coach speak. It's not a Jaguars practice. The men get here on Monday.
Andrew Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Travis Etienne, 25th overall selection in the NFL draft. He's getting a lot of work at the receiver position, despite being the all-time leading rusher in ACC history. Here's Urban Meyer talking about the plan for his second first-round pick as Jags head coach.
Travis was getting most of his reps today at wide receiver. We're trying, you know, he's the leading rusher in ACC history, so for him to run inside zone and power and zone right now, we thought let's just, the majority, I don't know if it was 100%, but all his individual training was at wide receiver, and that's the reason we drafted him, is that opportunity to be a dual threat guy. And our history is always we've had a guy like that, and we saw him as that guy in the draft this year. So right now we're focusing on the fundamentals of wide receiver play, learning the offense from wide receiver. Worst case scenario, you have a running back that's elite with receiver skills. Best case scenario, he's a legitimate dual threat guy.
Why were people kind of collectively rolling their eyes at this or criticizing Urban Meyer?
I think there's a collective, first of all, I think there's a collective group that is skeptical about running backs getting drafted in the first round, which I think are silly. If you actually look at the fact that 17 of the 20 leading rushers in the NFL last year were selected in the first three rounds, and that doesn't even count Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. I also think there's a natural group of people, right or wrong, that feel like Urban Meyer might not know completely what he's doing when it comes to the NFL. And maybe there's people that are just hesitant to believe whether or not Travis Etienne will be able to be a productive wide receiver at the NFL level, on top of having James Robinson, who is one of the three out of the 20 that was not selected high, undrafted, returning to the team.
Maybe. I was fascinated by, oh boy, now he's going to make him a – he didn't say that. He didn't do that. He didn't say that. He's limiting the reps of a rookie running the ball right now when it doesn't really matter. I get that. He's trying to expand his versatility. Sorry, all due respect to B.O.B.
Now, this is
true versatility. Yeah, this is true versatility. And then the most obvious thing to me is – we are in an era where running backs line up at receiver all over the NFL. Running backs line up at a receiver. You see it every Sunday at some point. Maybe not a lot, but you see it at some point with a lot of teams. And then what is it all about when you're running an offense, a productive, you know, complex, tough-to-figure-out offense? It's about matchups. Who's going to match up if he lines up in the slot and he can do the job, Etienne? Who's going to match up with him?
Vernon Hargreaves.
Well, or linebacker. I mean, I'm not going to say it's work. I'm not going to say it was brilliant. I'm not going to say it's going to work. I'm saying I understand why they're doing that. How can you not?
I think it's intriguing. Yeah. Very, very, very intriguing. But what about Tim Tebow? You knew they were going to ask about that. This was Urban Meyer being asked about Tim Tebow potentially joining Etienne, Trevor Lawrence and company in Jacksonville.
Any closer to a decision on bringing in Tim? And if you bring him in, what's your plan on how you want to use him?
Yeah, I've leaned on my staff for that. And I imagine the decision's going to be soon. You know, we wanted to evaluate, you know, have them, because I have a new tight end coach as well, get a feel for, they are the ones that put him through tryout a couple times and see if he can help us win. And those are, we have not had that. I imagine we'll come in after. All our focus is on the guys right now, and then we'll have a chat Sunday.
Look, he's going to play. I mean, well, they're going to bring him in.
You think?
They're going to bring him in.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they are.
Your bet has been placed. Astros. Half game behind the A's, a quarter through the season. They begin a series with the A's tomorrow in Oakland. Going to be a tough stretch for the Astros. They're going to face the A's, then a little breeze against the Rangers. Then you got the Dodgers, Padres, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Red Sox again.
Yeah. Look, they're smoking right now, man. I mean, they are just rolling right along. None of that, I mean, those are some tough matchups, but none of that would scare me a little bit, mostly because Greinke was Greinke again, and McCullers, even though he had a little bit of trouble finding the strike zone here and there, was back to his old ways.
Playing some good ball, 24-17, half game back, a series with the A's tomorrow, three-game set.
When are they facing fires?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Rockets season finally over, worst record in the NBA. June 22nd, we will know if they're going to have that draft pick. Bill Worrell, the legend, final game of his career. Rockets actually win over the Clippers at the Toyota Center. A really cool moment between Steven Silas and Bill Worrell after the game. Steven Silas giving Bill Worrell something that he had never received in his career as the voice of the Rockets.
Game ball is for Bill. I don't know if he's ever gotten a game ball before, but I haven't. This one is for you, man. 40 years and we're going to miss you, but you're such a big part of Houston basketball and Rockets basketball, and it's not going to be the same without you, but this is just a token, a small token of our appreciation for you and everything you've done for this organization. This game ball is for you, man. We're going to miss you a lot.
Steven, I'm so proud of you. You've grown up not only to be a great basketball coach, but a good young man, and you know how I can tell? Those guys play hard for you.
They do.
They play hard for you, and you've got to be proud of that.
I am. I'm super proud of the group, and it's less about them, and it's more about you right now, Bill. We're just so proud to be a part of, you know, I'm super proud of being a part of the Rockets, and you're, like, ingrained in Rockets history and the Rockets uniform and everything, so thank you. Thank you for everything that you are.
Just like your daddy. You're a wonderful young man.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Of course, all like everybody else, I'm getting in line with all due respect and congrats to Bill Worrell. I mean, you talk about, you know, synonymous. A lot of local broadcasters become synonymous if they stay. You know, Mark Vandermeer is synonymous with the Texans. He's the only voice they've ever had. But Worrell, I mean, that was one that was just there. We always knew that what you were getting from him. You know, the consistent call, the talking about the officials, which was kind of his brand, which was funny, and just being able to set up a number of different, you know, color guys that were with him that were always, you know, just better because of him.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, congrats on a legendary career from Mr. Worrell. We'll see if the Rockets season is all for nothing. I saw it described on the Sports Radio 610 page as dismal. It could be productive because sometimes when you lose, you win.
Yeah.
If they get that pick, then it was all for something. If they don't, it was all for nothing.
I just wish there was a Tim Duncan or an Akeem Olajuwon in this draft.
Never know.
You never know.
Well, kind of do.
Yeah.
Kind of do. Popping bottles for Sam Houston. Congratulations to the Bearcats. They win the FCS National Championship. Very happy for all the fans. Very happy for all the alumni. Shout out to all the Sam Houston loopholes, including Brandon Scott. I know he had an emotional moment yesterday. I think he was crying for about 25 minutes by my count.
That much, huh?
I'm just exaggerating. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Speaking of Brandon Scott, he spoke to David Culley. David Culley had some encouraging things that had a lot of people around here excited, but it has John Lopez upset. We'll tell you why next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.